I'm pretty good, eh? Agur, the son of Jecheth, he said that there were three things too wonderful for him, and four things that he didn't understand. Now, I don't claim privilege like him, so I'm going to stick with two things that are too wonderful for me, and two things that I don't understand that I want to share with you this morning. And they happen to be sort of the same thing. They are spiritual, or spirituality, and the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to tackle them in the order of what is spiritual, and then what is spiritual gifts. Because I figured, how can I understand spiritual gifts if I don't understand what spiritual means? And it seems today that we keep hearing this word, or I keep hearing this word, spiritual all the time. And maybe you've heard it as well. You've heard someone say to you, I'm spiritual but not religious. That's familiar. I need some... there's some head bobbing going on. You've heard that. Have you ever heard it by the acronym SBNR? Sibanara. That's the way they would say it in Serbian. I hadn't either until I happened to look that up the other day. And have you ever wondered to yourself, what does it mean to be spiritual but not religious? If somebody tells me I'm spiritual but not religious, I'm not so sure I know what they're trying to tell me. Now, if they tell me they're religious, I have an idea of what that is. And that came to me sort of accidentally because somebody once asked me, are you religious? And I had to ask them, what do you mean, are you religious? Because I have an understanding of, I think I have an understanding of what it means to be religious. But that's also a word that people use in different ways. And he said, well, you know, praying, going to church, reading your Bible, keeping the five commandments. I'm maybe a little bit more religious than you are. There are 10 commandments that I try to follow. Being religious was okay for me. But he wasn't so sure about himself. He wasn't into that kind of stuff. But he did reassure me that he believed in God. I was relieved, and I was just a little bit tempted to ask him, so you spiritual? You know, do you believe in God or something divine or something or other? And sometimes you get a positive affirmation. Yes, I believe in the divine. And it's not quite articulated. Okay, they're sort of seriously religious. Maybe a little bit less. But I've also come across other people who claim that they're spiritual. And I'm going to go on a limb here. And this sort of incorporates different activities. And some it's burning incense or watching Oprah's Super Sunday, Soul Super Sunday, or shopping at Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop. No? You got to ask somebody young. They've decided that jeans aren't the thing and only wear yoga pants. They're vegan. Or go on retreats or practice Eastern meditation. But neither of those is really an explanation of what it means to be spiritual. They're just different things that people have told me. So, can anything be spiritual? Depending on who you are or what you're feeling like at that moment? So somebody comes and they tell me, I'm spiritual. I'm left going, now what does that mean? And then I would ask them, you know, so what do you mean? And all the while in my head thinking, you have some definition of something without any accountability. You claim to believe in something, but you don't want anybody to actually hold you accountable to what you say you believe. And if I've insulted you and if I've stereotyped you this morning, I will be at the back there. And you can kick me in the shins, I guess, or something. And so it was quite timely that this last while I picked up a book called The Holy Longing by Ronald Rollheiser. He is a Catholic priest and professor, and he hails from Saskatchewan. So, props. He's from Cactus Lake. You get points if you know where that is. Most people in Saskatchewan don't know where it is either. But he defines spirituality as something that we do about the fire that's inside of us. That is, this deep desire that we have in our hearts. That's what spirituality is. What do we do with that fire, that desire that we have inside of us? It says, one, spirituality is the combination of activities, habits, practices, disciplines that shape our life. And in turn also then shape our desire. And he says that everybody has a spirituality. Whether or not people are aware of it, or just go haphazardly through life. Whether they are conscious of this expressed spirituality or not. Or, more simply said, we are all beings that desire something. And what we desire is what we ultimately become like. And the activities, our habits of our life ultimately lead us in that direction. We may not be aware of this. Now, that is still a little bit too sort of abstract and theoretical for you. If my number one desire is to be an NHL hockey player, what do you think some of the activities and practices and habits that I would need to develop in order to get me there? I don't really know anything about hockey per se, but I'm guessing you'd have to practice a lot. And you'd probably have to start off when you're really young. And you'd probably need to have a coach, and a good coach, and parents that are willing to drive you around everywhere. And you'd probably also need to have friends who are also really into hockey. I mean, you'd probably need to play on the right teams, and probably play in the right province. Saskatchewan is a good place. And probably the most important thing, if you want to become an NHL hockey player, is you've got to start growing it long in the back. My desire is to become a hockey player and in the NHL, and so I start doing certain things to help me move in that direction. But these things that I do also reinforce my desire, my direction to become this person. But we're not trying to become NHL hockey players. Well, I'm sorry, but some of you are past the age where that might be possible. But we're a church. And our desire is to become like Christ, like Jesus. And we too have developed different practices and habits that point us and direct us to Jesus, that steer us towards Jesus as opposed to somewhere else. Like coming to church on Sunday morning instead of, I don't know, football's going on. Maybe. Yeah? No? Okay. There's probably cycling happening this morning. But we would go to church and we might read our Bible. Or we would surround ourselves with Christian friends or brothers and sisters that also want to become like Christ. And by doing these things, we would also then reinforce that desire within us to become more like Him. And so everybody has a spirituality, but the question is, where is it directed? So here's my model. Spirituality is a set of practices, habits, disciplines that direct us towards the thing that we desire. Religion are corporate habits and practices that lead us to the thing that we desire. And if we are Christians and we practice Christian spirituality, then that should lead us to Christ. But if our deep desires for something else, then our habits are going to lead us in a different direction. And I think that's what Paul is getting at in Corinthians here, when he says that those who confess Jesus as Lord are those who deep down their number one desire is to be like Jesus. And those who do not confess Jesus as Lord have a different central or first desire, whether that is self-fulfillment or whether that is my own pleasure or wealth or to become a hockey player. Either Jesus is Lord or Jesus is accursed. You cannot serve two masters. Whereas Christian spirituality and Christian religion is a set of practices that leads us to Christ, a lot of modern spirituality, to me seems anyway, that it directs people towards themselves. I'll leave you with that. That's my first point. That's me working through my confusion about spirituality. The first thing that I've pondered and wondered about and I'm confused by. And the second one is spiritual gifts. Oftentimes we speak about spiritual gifts in the church a lot. And sometimes I wonder, what are spiritual gifts? And how do we differentiate between spiritual gifts and natural gifts? And so, when you don't know what to do, you turn to Google. Google, find spiritual test quiz. And Google, by the way, can you also tell me what is the difference between natural gifts and spiritual gifts? And so I searched Google, and what I discovered is that there are a lot of people offering, or organizations offering, a lot of tests or quizzes on to help you determine what your spiritual gifting is. And reading through a bunch of different websites and having done a variety of tests, turns out I've got a lot of different spiritual gifts. And even the ones that coincided, they weren't so sure if they were the same thing. Everybody had their own sort of different definition of spiritual gifts and what they were. And even in the Bible, we have three different lists of spiritual gifts. Paul writes to the Corinthians, one list. He gives a slightly different list to the Roman church, and then also to the Ephesians. So what are we supposed to do? Where do we go? So based upon what I've read, here's what I propose to you. Spiritual gifts are gifts, services, activities for the purpose of building up the church. Spiritual gifts are just natural gifts that we employ to build up the church. Gifts are things that come naturally to you and things that you love to do. And spiritual gifts is when we take those things and we offer them to God in the service of building up the church for the common good. Paul says there is one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he apportions gifts to everyone who calls on Jesus as Lord, as the Spirit sees fit. And it is God who empowers them all for the common good. And in the passage this morning, he lists a variety of gifts, not an exhaustive list, but a list that was speaking to the Corinthian church at that time for their needs, for the struggles that they were dealing with. And he mentions wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. These are some of the gifts that were manifesting themselves in the Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church was pretty proud of the way that this Holy Spirit had gripped them and was using They're gifts to build one another up. But it was doing more than that because some of them were being puffed up as well. And they were placing more weight or more worth on certain spiritual gifts versus others. And I think by extension, then placing more worth upon certain individuals with certain gifts than others. And I stand up before you and I speak. You can tell me afterwards if I'm gifted for it or not. But it's a gift that has a very public role in the church. But there's a lot of gifts that don't get such prominent, I guess, airtime, you could call it. And so sometimes we value certain gifts over others. And Paul says that is not the way that it works in the church. That may be the way that it works in the world around you, but that is not the way that it works in the church. God has blessed everyone with the gift according to His purposes for the building up of His church. And so, how to make that more tangible, we always talk about God as a father who gives gifts to His children. I'm a father, you've heard my children. And I like to give, I like to give my children gifts, but it doesn't happen so often because a lot of people give them gifts and we give them clothes. And I'm sure most of you have seen children. But I love it when they use their gifts, their toys, in the way that they're intended to be used. So he uses a hammer to hammer things. Or a car and he drives it around. Or if he's got a pot, he might be trying to cook something in it. Or a shovel for shoveling. Or blocks for building. But there are other times when he uses the pot to smash and hammer things. Or he wears it as a helmet. Or he takes books and he throws them. There's a lot of reprimanding that happens in our house. And it makes me a little bit sad when they don't use the gifts in the way that I want them to enjoy them. I gave him a car because I wanted him to drive it. If I wanted him to stack things, I would give him blocks. If I want him to hammer things, I didn't give him a brother for that. And it also makes me really happy when they appreciate the gift that I or we have given to them. Instead of being jealous about the exact same thing that we've given to the other child. No, I want that blue quad. You have a blue quad. No, it's... Yeah. So what do you love to do? And what comes naturally to you? Is it to encourage? Then you should encourage. If it is to teach, then you should teach. If you are good with money, I was going to say then give. Or donate, or to help other people. If it is to talk, then evangelize, then greet, then befriend. If it is organizing, then organize. Planning, plan, administering, and minister. If it's hospitality, then hosts. If it is singing, then sing. If it is being present, then sit with somebody. Whether that be in the hospital, or just at the coffee shop, or beside somebody in the pew. If it is extending mercy, then be merciful. If it is cleaning, then clean. I don't know how God has gifted you. But I do know that God has gifted you because God is a father who loves to shower his children with good gifts and good things. And I wonder, how would my life be transformed if I honored the gift that God gave me instead of desiring to have a different gift? and use the gift that God has given me to bless my neighbor, my family, the person down the road from me? What if we all started using the gifts that God has given us to bless one another? Maybe it would even place a smile on our Father's face in heaven to see his children living into the wonderful things that he has apportioned especially for them. So why not take your gifting and turn it into a spiritual gift by using it to serve and bless those around you in the church and beyond the church doors? Let us pray. God, you have poured your Spirit down upon your people that we might be a blessing to the world. You have given us good gifts, but not for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters in Christ and those who may come to know you in time and those who may not as well. Give us the courage and understanding to use that which you have given us to bless the world and not to be jealous of others or not to be frightened or think less of what you have given us. It is you who have apportioned according to your delight for the common good. Amen.